You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's known in Japan as Doki Doki Mahou Gaijin Otaku.
What?
Heart-pounding magic foreign nerds. I'm Cody.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Sam. Hey, thank you all for tuning in this week. We have a great show for you. We have a lot of San Diego Comic-Con news, so much that we're going to kind of half skip over check it outs for the most part. If there's a little bit of time at the end of the show, we might fill in with a couple of those, but there's so much news. I don't know if we're going to get to it. But before we get into San Diego Comic-Con news, we're going to take about 5 minutes and talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp, because Josh, you finally got a chance to watch it, right?
We've all partaken in it.
Finally.
Yeah, actually, I've seen it twice. Yeah.
Yes, I have finally watched Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Great. So are we going to be getting into any spoilers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
might as well.
Okay, so yeah.
It's been long enough.
It's been like a month or so we can get into it.
Hey, well, what a good movie, guys. Am I right?
It's a super good movie. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's very funny. Very good. Breath of fresh air after Infinity War.
It's what the MCU needed, for sure.
Paul Rudd is just a ray of sunshine.
Yes, he's an absolute joy.
Treasure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just watching him name the ants was pretty funny.
Yeah. But no, everything about it was really good.
Oh, and the giant ant playing Rock Band.
That was great. Yeah, they trained the giant ant for sure. I really liked Evangeline Lilly in it as the Wasp. I think
she was so much better in this movie than the other one. They really gave her stuff to do this time.
That's it, yeah.
That was the biggest problem with the original Ant-Man.
No, you can't do that. No.
Why? Although she was going to go into the Quantum Tunneler, and then they told her, no, you can't do that. But still, it made sense this time.
Yeah.
So she has wing and blasters. You didn't have that tech for me? Oh, I did.
Although they always say what a jerk Hank Pym is. Oh, you're such a self-centered jerk. It's like, we never really see that, though.
He's kind of grumpy.
Yeah, from our point of view, he's just kind of a grumpy...
He's surly.
So yeah, he's a surly grandpa.
I mean, you kind of see a little bit of it in the first movie, but like in this one, yeah, he's just kind of grumpy. And like a lot of that grump disappears as soon as, Janet comes back.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, now we're in the spoilers.
Yeah.
They get Janet Van Dyne out of the quantum zone.
Yep.
The phantom zone.
Yep, they bring back the old Catwoman.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, and you know what? She did a great job. I mean, she was barely in it.
Yeah, but she looked cool as hell.
She looked really cool.
That, like, costume they had for her little quantum wastelander outfit is very cool.
It kind of reminded me of... the DC comic when the Atom gets lost in like the Savage Atomic level or whatever.
Yeah, where he finds
the Savage Atom or whatever they called that.
Vandal Savage Atoms.
But no, I liked
those tardigrades.
The tardigrades. That was really cool. I liked how the Wasp, she turned her wings into like a sword or something.
Yeah.
On her back. That was really cool.
Yeah, she'd obviously repurposed parts of her suit to survive.
Yeah. I thought, for a second there, I thought it was her wings, and I thought they were just broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what they do with her in future Marvel movies, because she mentioned that she's changed, and not just because, you know, they've given her, like, vague quantum powers.
I thought for a second they were going to make her, like, the first mutant, because she said something about it being evolution.
Yeah, they could.
But then they kind of dialed back on it a little bit.
A little bit. Well, Disney didn't have the merger with 20th Century Fox all the way through.
That's
yet.
True,
so they couldn't probably say anything.
Which was finally just confirmed and allowed to happen today.
Yeah, so that is definitely going to happen. Yeah.
So bow to your future Disney overlords.
Yeah, I like Lawrence Fishburne as...
Goliath,
yeah.
Yeah, he was really, really cool. Good. I didn't realize it was him until after the movie for some reason. That guy's really good. Oh, yeah. Curtis.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't recognize him without the Jerry curls and cowboy hat.
Exactly.
Or a leather trench coat and a red pill and a blue pill.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny that Ghost, while she is presented throughout a lot of the movie as like the villain, she's really... Not really. Like, the only real villain of the movie is Walton Goggins, that mobster guy. He's really the only one.
He was trash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I loved how he kept getting his comeuppance.
Oh, yeah. That was really good.
The bit about the truth serum. The truth serum. Very funny.
It's not truth serum. It is truth serum.
Yeah.
I'd say it was the funniest Marvel movie if Thor Ragnarok didn't exist.
I'd put that up there.
I wouldn't even say it was as funny as the first Guardians.
I'd say it on par with first Guardians.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Yeah. Put
maybe
it right
Guardians
up there with it.
2.
Guardians 1 and Guardians 2 were about the same movie.
just about. Yeah. Let's see. I like Luis. I'm glad he came back. I'm glad they didn't overplay him telling stories. I was really kind of worried about that.
Yeah, once was just
enough. It was perfect. That was really good.
I kind of like the FBI agent that was like dealing with.
Oh, Jimmy Woo. Yeah.
Yeah. Randall Park is hilarious.
He's great.
He's also a delight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean you'll see me? Like, are we going out somewhere? Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, I'll arrest you. I mean, do you want to go out somewhere?
I hope he becomes a recurring character in the Marvel universe.
You know, he's in the comics. Like, Jimmy Woo is like an established character. Yeah.
I hope he becomes kind of a Nick Fury type character. That
would be cool,
you know,
because
they showing up.
They need it because, I mean, Sam Jackson can't be doing Nick Fury forever.
Yeah. Well,
even though he's just been doing cameos for the last, like, whatever things.
Well, and he disappeared
even before that. So let's go ahead and talk about the post-credit sequence real quick.
Yeah,
and then we'll move on. Yeah, we got to talk about it.
It was just an ant playing drums.
Boy.
No, not the post-credit. The mid-credits roll.
Which is basically just part of the movie. It's like, that's...
Yeah. And it was a real sock to the gut.
Oh, yeah. Well, you go through this entire...
Gasped.
Oh, it was... Like, yeah. That was a shock. Yeah, that was a surprise.
They're doing their little quantum experiments now that they can go into the quantum realm. Scott goes down in there, and then the Infinity War disappearance happens. So Ant-Man is now stuck in the quantum realm, and all the other characters in the movie pretty much disappeared.
Yeah. Now, do you think they're going to use that as an excuse to not put Ant-Man in the next Avengers movie, or do you think that's going to be a plot point?
I think Ant-Man is the linchpin to the...
Okay.
Because Janet Van Dyne mentioned something about temporal... time travel stuff, which I really hope isn't the solution to the Infinity War, but it probably will be
something. Yeah.
I mean, that's so hackneyed and like obvious, but you know, it's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, you know, this is the last Avengers movie that's going to have everybody. They got to do something, get everybody together for it. You know? But no, overall, I would recommend it. I mean, it's probably out of theaters now or pretty close to it.
Go see it at the cheapo theater.
Yeah,
like,
spend a buck.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man, when he gets, like, super, super huge next to the boat.
And he gets sleepy. That's so funny. Yeah. He gets sleepy when he gets big, apparently.
The whole sequence when they're in the school, and he's, like, toddler size. And, like, they get back to the van, and Hank Pym's like, do you need a juice box and a nappy?
That was the best.
That was really good.
That was, like, right up there with, like, Baby Legs Deadpool jokes. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're at the Dollar Theater and you're stuck between this movie and Jurassic World 2,
it's this movie.
See Ant-Man.
See this one twice.
Yeah, see it again.
Yeah,
because Jurassic Park 2 was just okay.
It was just okay.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Okay, so we have one other news item before we get into San Diego Comic-Con stuff, and this one is a bit of a bummer, but we wouldn't be a pop culture show that talks about this kind of stuff if we didn't at least mention it. We try to steer clear of like political stuff, so I don't want to get into that end of it if we can.
But the McRib is coming back.
The McRib,
everyone.
I mean,
no, I don't know that for sure. I'm sorry, I can't promise that.
Allegedly, the McRib is coming back. No, James Gunn, who is the director of Guardians 1 and 2 and did the a lot of the consulting on the Guardians portions of Avengers.
Infinity War.
Yeah. It was someone with some political, you know, who had some political opposition to what James Gunn believes, went back about 10 years into his old tweets and found some just really, really not good tweets
that he made.
It's very incredibly bad taste jokes that were done in poor taste.
Edgelordy material.
Yeah. They were like, making jokes about... Well, the major one was pedophilia, which, like, you don't joke about that stuff.
I mean, you did back then. It wasn't as big of a deal.
I mean,
like,
I guess. But, like, and because this individual found these tweets and
Are we not saying his name?
I don't want to give the guy
any, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
And, but he was a major Gamergate.
Yeah, that guy's not great.
Yeah.
But because this guy has a really large following online, that kind of bolsters around. Yeah. Yeah. Disney made the decision to remove James Gunn from all future Guardians projects.
Which was
a little extreme.
They kind of jumped the gun on that. James Gunn on that one.
Especially because when he was hired in for Guardians 1, these tweets were brought up before. Like when he was announced as the first. Yeah. There was a kind of a kerfuffle about these exact like jokes and tweets. And he apologized for them then, saying that, you know, they were made at a time where I was not nearly as well known. I was trying to be edgy for the sake of being edgy, just to get any kind of press. They were done in poor taste. I see that now. He apologized for him, and Disney and Marvel hired him anyway. So they clearly didn't have a problem with it then. I think it's,
why didn't he delete them then?
See, that's the thing. That's the biggest thing that he should have nuked his tweets like the second he got hired on to like any kind of major project.
As it became kind of an issue.
Yeah, they should have been gone.
He should have said, "I'm sorry. Now I'm going to delete them."
Yes.
Like, don't delete them without acknowledging it.
Oh yeah, no,
that would be kind of.
And it's not like he's been like trying to talk as we have it. He's completely apologized, like up and down.
Oh,
about it.
Yes.
He's like, "Look, I know I sucked."
Yeah, he owns up to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was unjust.
It was unjust in his firing. If there was an issue with the things that he said before, then he shouldn't have been hired to begin with.
Exactly.
I think it's kind of weird that Disney is kowtowing to this individual and his following. I think it's more of a, I understand why Disney did it, because they're looking at, okay, we have a group of people that if we don't do something about this, they will not support us.
Well, no, because they are louder.
They're louder and will make things worse. Or we can fire this guy, and the people that are going to be loud about it will probably still support our things, because they're going to support our things, because, you know.
And the worst part is that this dude that we're not saying the name of tries to go at it from a moral standpoint, like he's the moral crusader here that has uncovered these nasty tweets.
And he this whole event has only bolstered him and his group, because they're now going after Patton Oswalt, Michael Ian Black, and Sarah Silverman.
They
went after Dan Harmon. Well, Dan Harmon, guy's kind of a jerk anyway. I'm not a huge fan of Dan Harmon, but still.
I mean, I've watched Channel 101. It's rough.
The fact that...
But that was the humor of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, the one other thing I want to say about this, there have been a lot of comparisons to this and Roseanne Barr and her removal from the Roseanne show for her really... really out of left field tweets, because they're like, okay, well, you know, Roseanne did this one thing and she got fired,
but also
James Gunn does the other.
Roseanne's wasn't like 12 years ago.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the thing.
And Roseanne doesn't think she did anything wrong.
Roseanne didn't apologize. Roseanne didn't say these 10 years ago and like say, you know, error of my ways. Roseanne,
I've learned, I've become a better person. No.
Yeah, I've, you know, rethought my stance on things. Hers are recent. Well, anyway, I say that we're in support of, you know,
rehiring
him or doing something. And now a lot of the news articles have like led with he's been fired from Guardians, and that's true. He's not directing Guardians. They're still using his plot treatment for Guardians 3. He is still around in an advisory role for a wider Marvel Cinematic Universe when it comes to the cosmic, like he's in charge of like the cosmic characters. So anything that's set in space, he's kind of directing it a little bit. So he's not completely, he hasn't been completely left.
He hasn't been dropped completely.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Dropped. Thank you. So it's not as bad as it sounds, but it still sucks.
And yeah, it's the reason why it happened sucks. But honestly, I think somebody else directing the next Guardians movie
might not be a bad
thing. Yeah, it doesn't sound that bad.
It doesn't sound that bad. You know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
The other thing that I thought...
But this is not a good reason for
this
it.
This is really kind of scary, the way that this all kind of came about, because now... I've always been pretty guarded about what I put up online when it comes to personal accounts and things like that. I don't like sharing a lot of things for this exact reason, but it's become more commonplace that everything you say can and probably will be used against you online at some point, even if it was done years and years and years
when you
before,
were 15.
Back before your brain was totally fully formed, yeah. You know?
Oh man! So thank goodness no one uses MySpace anymore.
Yeah, right. I want to know. Oh, I wiped that thing clean.
I wiped my Twitter today of everything past 3 months ago.
I've been thinking about it,
and I know I don't think I said anything bad.
Oh, I know I haven't, but still,
I don't want it. You know,
I don't want to take a chance.
Yeah. I don't want it to be taken out of context or whatever.
Exactly.
I saw this post where somebody was like, "Okay, well, we see what you did, Disney," and then they posted like images of really, really awful things Disney did.
Like Song of the South or...
Yeah.
Or the other thing is, you know, they get rid of James Gunn, but Johnny Depp is still on there.
They still give him a platform.
Who is like... There's no ambiguity about... Yeah, that guy, man, what a shame. Cause, like,
I used to really like him.
You know, Edward Scissorhands was pretty good.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
The Pirates movies used to be real good.
Like first one's great.
Yeah. Because they stole the entire plot from Monkey Island, but...
Well, sure.
I know, that's the hill you're going to die on.
Yeah. All right. I love Monkey Island so much, you guys.
We know. Yeah. And King's Quest, and all that other stuff.
Yeah. All right, so hey, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of San Diego Comic-Con news. We don't have a ton of time before the break, so let's do the comic book news.
The actual comic book news.
I'm sure.
Which is very little.
Just so you know, all of our listeners are aware, we're not covering everything. There's a million billion different things that are announced every year at San Diego Comic-Con. It's too much to cover.
If there's something you want us to cover, though, let us know.
Yeah,
and we'll do it.
Email us in. We'll talk about it. First things first, we have a couple of announcements coming from, you know, Marvel. They have the big one is Gwen Stacy, the Spider-Gwen character, is getting a new code name, and there's a whole handful of comics based around the Spider-Man character that's going to be released, like Spider-Man adjacent, but not like Peter Parker. The name is going to be changed to Ghost Spider.
Which is as clunky as...
It's difficult to say. It's like the like in the middle.
Ghost
is like
Spider.
Yeah. It's like...
Spider Ghost.
Spider Ghost,
better.
Yeah.
And even still kind of sounds still like Spider Gwen.
Or
like
Space Ghost.
Space Ghost.
Yeah. But along with this, there's going to be books featuring Dr. Octopus. There's one that's going to be called Spider Force, which I hope is like a 90s throwback. Like, there's like a Cable version of Spider-Man and like Domino version of Spider-Man, like
so
Rob Liefeld, no spider feet, a lot of pouches.
I was gonna say spider pouch.
Yeah, he keeps just a pouch full of spiders and just throws them.
That's his power. He's got a pouch that has infinite spiders.
That's
inside.
That's it.
My nightmare.
Go, my children. And he snaps open his pouch and they just come flying out.
Oh yeah.
So, an Australian summer.
Yes. Just every day in Australia. Let's see. Some of the other things. There's been a bunch of X-Men books. Like, they're shaking up all of their writers on each one of the teams. They're bringing back the Iceman book, which is pretty cool.
They're being allowed to make X-Men books again.
Basically. Right. That's basically it. There's one five-issue miniseries that I'm actually really interested in reading. It's called X-Men Black, and they're featuring... It's like a spotlight on five of the major X-Men villains throughout the years. There isn't a whole lot of news about it, but I follow the writer of the one that's doing Emma Frost. Her name is Leah Williams. I follow her on Twitter, and she has some really, really strong, crazy opinions about Emma Frost that she has been tweeting about for about 6 months prior to this. So I'm really interested to see what she does and actually like makes canon in the books with the character. So it's actually going to be pretty cool. There's going to be a, from IDW, there's going to be a horror comic one shot around Halloween that's based in the Star Wars universe called Tales from Vader's Castle.
Now, IDW does the kids' Star Wars books, right?
Yeah.
So this is for kids.
This is for kids. But it looks like the art of the cover is done by the guy who did the Afterlife with Archie.
It's a really good looking cover.
It's super retro-y. I love
and
it.
When I say it's for kids, I mean
everyone.
All ages. Yeah. It's an all ages book. But I like the idea of doing different genres set in the Star Wars universe. I don't think there's been a full blown like horror story.
There was a novel.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's in the garbage now.
It doesn't happen. That didn't happen anymore. Strike that from your memory.
The novel is actually not that old. It's only a few years old.
Still.
Strike that from your holocrons.
Yeah, it was called Death Troopers. It was about a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, right on.
With zombie stormtroopers that were actually smart.
That sounds pretty rad.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying, actually.
Yeah. Let's see. Some of the other stuff. There's been some changes in the writers for DC Comics. The major ones are... Grant Morrison is taking over Green Lantern, which is great. It means Green Lantern's going to get weird, and I love it.
Green Lantern needs to get weird.
Yeah, I love Grant Morrison as a writer. He did some great stuff on X-Men back in the early 2000s. He wrote Animal Man.
I've heard for Vertigo, which is good.
The Invisibles is really good. He did a lot of Doom Patrol, which was like psychedelic weird stuff, and he did a lot of. Final Crisis, he wrote that, and the new multiverse,
he did a lot of New 52 Superman,
Multiversity, do you remember that one where, like, they did, like, the eight issues, like,
yes.
Two bookend books with, like, eight issues in the middle, and told, like, a really non-linear kind of weird story set in different parallel universes. He's writing Green Lantern now, and I can't be happier. That's super good news. Also, Kelly Sue DeConnick is writing Aquaman. She's a great writer. Yeah.
Yeah. She writes, I can't say that on the radio.
Yeah, no, she writes some independent books for, I think it's for Image that she writes them for.
Oh, okay, I know the one you're talking about now.
Yeah, but she's a
whole planet of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic writer, and I'm really interested in seeing where she goes with Aquaman. She's
also from Marion.
She is from Marion, yeah. Didn't stay here long.
Oh, yeah, not here anymore. She got the heck out.
Oh, no, when she was like, 4 or 5 or something like that.
Yeah.
Although it would be really cool to try to get her on the show.
It would.
Or the lady who does Lumberjanes in Columbus.
Grace Ellis, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see. And the last thing from comics that we can probably talk about. Oh, there's another one. Gail Simone is going to be taking over like an editor-in-chief type spot for independent comic publisher called Catalyst Prime. I'm not really familiar with their books.
I've never heard of the company until
now. I think they might be a fairly recent startup, but I love Gail Simone.
Oh, Gail's great. They give her whatever platform she wants. Yeah.
Just anything. She does fantastic work. Like, she's been writing Red Sonja lately, and it's like the first time I've enjoyed reading Red Sonja. Because I'm not usually a sword and sorcery type of...
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, a lot of the Red Sonja books weren't that great.
Yeah. Well, now they are.
Until she started writing.
Yeah, now they're super good.
I read the first issue of her Conan Wonder Woman crossover, and it was very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot they did that.
And last up, and probably most important, Batman got his undies back.
Yay.
Yeah, so they're going to be reintroducing the classic design Batman costume into the
they're
comics.
They're tighty-whities with the Bat logo all over
them.
Yep,
just all over them, just right on the crotch. Yeah. Just one big one right on the crotch.
Black Y front with white undies with the Bat logo.
That's it. Yep.
No, they're just regular black.
But they're going back to a more classic design because for years they had almost like a hyper-realistic style. It almost mimicked the Dark Knight Rises or Dark Knight costume where it looked more like battle armor a little bit. There's like more ribbing and kind of
He was just jealous of Superman getting his underwear back, recently happened.
Yeah, that happened about 6 months to a year ago. So I knew it was going to happen eventually. But it's super good. I don't know what it is, but I like classic designs.
It breaks up the colors.
There's a reason why it's been there for 100 million years.
Yeah. The underwear itself like breaks up the colors for sure. But like it depends on the character certainly. But like the more detailed and more realistic an artist draws the costumes on superhero characters, the less I tend to like them.
Well, the more
give me goofy looking impossible things, because you know comics are about impossible things.
It goes around and all the way back around and makes it silly.
Yeah,
because now he is a man running around in a onesie and through the neighborhood fighting crime, but he looks like
it looks right.
It looks like real.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Okay, so that's it for comic news. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to get into a ton of trailers.
While we're on break, follow Gail Simone on Twitter.
Yeah, she is wonderful. She is a delight on Twitter. Like, excellent. Like, yeah, go do that. So go do that. We'll be back. More San Diego Comic-Con news. Hey, we're back. That was Heart of Glass by Blondie. It's a great song. I enjoy it.
Blondie's good. Blondie is good.
It's very good.
Seal of approval.
They're not bad brownies.
that is a type of brownie. I'll kick you
out. All right.
I want brownies.
We can't keep talking about food like this.
This is me poisoning the well.
Hey, we haven't had an episode where we talk about fast food.
We haven't talked about fast food and local restaurant chains for a while. That's very true. Yeah.
So I went to El Campesino last night. No, we're here to talk about San Diego Comic-Con.
Yep. And Josh, why did we play Heart of Glass by Blondie?
Well, long time ago.
In a galaxy far ago.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan did a movie.
That wasn't terrible.
No, it was great.
It was probably, I would argue it's his best one.
It was back when, you know.
I've never seen it.
Of course not.
Dang it.
This is how I promote the other show.
Anyway.
But I haven't. I haven't seen Unbreakable. So,
well, you need to see Unbreakable. It's
Unbreakable
really good.
Had Bruce Willis and
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes. I don't know why my mind blanked for a second. I think I was still thinking of Ant-Man. I almost said Lawrence Fishburne. I don't need an angry video from Samuel Jackson.
Paul Rudd.
And Paul Rudd. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd was also in Unbreakable. No, he wasn't.
Okay. No.
But he was in a commercial for the Super Nintendo.
He was.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's right. It's true.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's tangent.
Anyway, so Unbreakable
about
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, M. Night Shyamalan's The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
What a twist. It was funny. Anyway, at least the first season.
Yeah, it kind of went downhill on the side. I never finished the second season.
So anyway.
Anyway, okay.
Bruce Willis, did it come up before?
It was the one directly after Sixth Sense.
Okay.
So Bruce Willis is alive in this one.
Yes.
He is alive.
Where he plays an individual who is apparently unbreakable?
Yeah, throughout the course of the movie, you discover that the guy survived a train crash. He's the only survivor of it, and slowly discovers that he
is invincible.
Is invincible, basically,
like the Tick.
Kinda. And he has a kind of a sixth sense where if he touches someone and they've done wrong, he can kind of get flashes of what they've done.
But not the sixth sense.
Not the sixth sense. No, that's a different movie.
Only Haley Joel Osment has that.
Yeah, he gets like this weird, like almost like Ghost Rider, like
a little bit
Sin Flash or whatever,
kind of something like that. And the whole movie was based around the idea that comic books were based on mythology, like, you know, like the story of Hercules and stuff like that were all based on very, very loosely based on actual, like,
people.
Real people.
Yeah.
And that comic were like the modern version
modern
of that,
mythology
kind of.
And Bruce Willis was one of these mythological figures.
It sounds like a early Neil Gaiman comic book.
It kind of does.
In a way, yeah.
A little,
yeah.
The whole concept does. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
But also the big twist at the end of the movie was this guy that
Bruce Willis...
Because
of course there was one.
Yes.
Yeah.
These were back when these were good twists.
Well, let's not spoil the twist because...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
We're not
going to... No.
Yeah, don't.
We've probably already talked too much about it.
Because that's probably the next episode of...
Probably. Yeah. So anyway.
No, I haven't seen that. A podcast on the Nerd Overload Podcast Network. Check your local podcast checker wherever you get podcasts. No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
We should listen to it. All right.
The first and only podcast about movies.
No one's done it before.
It's amazing.
It's a brand new thing.
So fresh.
Yeah. Okay.
M. Night Shyamalan also did a more recent movie.
Yes, flash forward to a couple years ago.
Yes, called Split.
Which I have seen and is very good.
And I haven't seen it.
There's another episode.
It's the only M. Night movie I've never seen.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you've seen so many M. Night movies.
Yeah.
I used to really like him, and then, you know, all the crap started coming out.
Yeah, right.
Then it happened, and by it, I mean The Happening.
Okay, here we go. We got to stay on target. We're getting way out of there. Okay.
We have a lot of stuff to cover.
So Split was a movie
about an individual with
multiple personalities.
Multiple personalities.
Played by James McAvoy very well.
Yes. you've probably seen the memes with "that's not me, that's Patricia." So anyway,
the big twist at the end of that. Oh wait,
well, I already know it. Already
oh okay,
it.
Yeah.
The big twist at the end of that movie is that it takes place in the universe that Unbreakable took place in.
Right. Yeah. James McAvoy's character eventually kind of gets a kind of unified kind of personality or like a more bestial kind of personality, and he gains like super strength basically.
It's another personality called the Beast that lives with him.
Yeah, and you find out that it's set in the Unbreakable universe. Yes. And
so the next movie, Glass,
had a trailer. First trailer.
Had a trailer.
Yeah, the first trailer dropped at San Diego Comic-Con, which is what we've been trying to get to for the past 10 minutes.
Wow. Way to go, way to go through a movie history lesson.
Anyway, that trailer hit with all three of the main characters, McAvoy, Sam Jackson, and Bruce Willis, and it looks phenomenal.
This is the Avengers of the M. Night Shyamalan cinematic universe.
It kind
of
is. And Shyamalan has said that he doesn't plan on having any more movies set in this universe. He always had the idea for three, and that was going to be it. And I'm in. Like, it looks super good.
Yeah, I'm definitely in for the in ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I'm a little concerned that it's going to become a little too grand of scope. Like, you know, if they start introducing more and more people who actually have some kind of power, that might be a little weird.
It becomes a huge superhero universe.
Yeah, that would be a little weird. But I would like it if they just kind of kept it to a relatively small cast.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything in the trailer kind of indicated that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's not about J.D. Salinger's Glass family.
No, it's not about... Okay. No. And the best part about the trailer
is... That is not the end of the Sandman. Now he gets it.
No, I like how you're just ignoring, completely ignoring our stupid aside.
Well, listen, we have a lot of news to get through, guys. We got a lot to get through.
It looks like a good trailer.
It looks like a really good trailer. Good, yeah, okay. It looks really good. I like that Bruce Willis looks like he's giving a crap. Like, he actually looks like he might act in this movie. Nice. That's nice for a change, because last couple it's been kind of... Yeah, it's been pretty... He's pretty been pretty lifeless.
You mean like Death Wish?
Like all of the movies he's done lately.
I can't believe they made a Death Wish movie.
Yeah, it's rotten. All right, so anyway, Glass looks good. Let's move on to some other trailers. Let's talk about the Godzilla. Is that King of the Monsters?
Ooh, yeah. Oh, it looks real good.
Yeah.
Lots of monsters in this one.
I'm super excited.
Godzuki. Godzuki.
Godzuki.
Is he going to be in this movie?
Oh, man.
I hope not.
God, I hope so.
But it is a sequel to the 2014 Godzilla film.
Yeah, these are the American-made ones by Legendary. Not Shin Godzilla, that was done by the Evangelion guy.
And was fantastic.
Yeah, had that weird, like, floppy looking around, like, Godzilla proto-form with, like, the bug eyes.
God, that movie was good.
It was good and weird, and he had lasers that shot out of his tail, like, multiple lasers.
Yeah. Man, it was a rad movie.
Yeah.
It was a crazy movie. Anyway.
Yeah.
An American Godzilla was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
And here's another one.
It's kind of a bait and switch with Bryan Cranston, but other than that, you know, that's all right. But
I don't go to a Godzilla movie to watch the human characters.
Yeah, to see Bryan Cranston, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a little too much of the human characters in the other one, but overall the Godzilla stuff was so cool.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the earlier Godzilla films, Godzilla is almost like a back piece.
Mm-hmm.
He is the event.
Yeah.
And you're
almost a force of nature.
He is a force of nature, and you're watching how mankind copes and deals with that.
Yes.
If there's too much Godzilla, then it's not as cool when he is there.
Yeah, right. That's the only issue that I'm kind of scared about with this, because there's going to be a lot of monsters, and I love monsters. Don't get me wrong. I love fighting monsters, especially when they fight each other. That's super great.
Man, I'm kind of hoping this is like my Godzilla Pacific Rim.
Yeah. I kind of like how in the trailer it looked like they subtly kind of hinted that each of the monsters had like a element, was tied to an element, like Godzilla rises out from the ocean, and Rodan like was
shoots
on
out
top
of a volcano,
was outside of a volcano.
That's who, and that
which by the way is within canon of Rodan's character, because in the original Rodan movie he is found within a dormant volcano,
right? I think they made at least the larva form of Mothra is like kind of built out of earth a little bit. Like the cocoon looked like it was built, like had like,
it was hard to tell.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to tell. But Ghidorah was definitely like an air or like space, because he was like a space monster.
He was sent from space in the original films anyway.
I really hope that the two tiny Japanese ladies from Mothra are in this movie.
I really hope so.
Mothra.
Mothra is a good movie.
It's a good movie, yeah.
It's dumb. It's dumb as hell, but it's a good movie.
I tell you, though, that scene in the trailer when Mothra opens up his wings is like,
super
good. That is super well. It's framed really well. It looks really good.
It looks great.
I'm just hoping when we get to that scene in the movie that the musical score matches, because that's like my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. I love movie scores.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely down for more Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
Same here. Always.
Let's see. We have a couple of DC things we could talk about real quick.
The Incredible Web Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Aquaman. He does. It looks great. You know.
Moisture
the
Barbarian.
I think. Yeah. It looks really fun. I kind of like that. What's his name? Jason Momoa puts just enough care into the part to kind of play it, but not like take it seriously. You can tell he's just kind of goofing around a little bit.
I feel like he's just him.
That's the best way to do
it. I feel like he's just him.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks good, but trailers for DC movies have looked good before.
Well, yeah.
So I've been burned one too many times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't get your hopes up, but it looks like it could be good.
Cautiously optimistic about this one. It is interesting how they are able to make him always look sweaty and dirty, even when he's underwater.
I saw somebody on Twitter complaining that he didn't look wet on the poster. And it's like, he's underwater. You don't look wet when you're in the water.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, DC trailers, yes, Shazam looks very good.
It looks really good.
I have a couple thoughts on Shazam.
Okay, let's hear them.
I hate the costume so
much. It looks silly, but it kind of works for me.
Yeah, I think...
Like, the heavy underpadding is really evident.
Because Zachary Levi's
well,
in
I understand
Zachary
that.
Levi is, like,
Chuck's
incredibly...
in there.
He's really skinny. I don't think there's ever... There's never an amount of muscle mass that dude can put on and actually look beefy. There's no way. So they had to put
really
a muscle suit
goofy
underneath them.
LED lightning bolt on the chest.
And that's based on the new 52 design.
That's a little silly, yeah. I'll give
a
you
little
that.
Bit. But
I could see it glowing when he's using his powers, but the fact that it's on all the time and it casts this really bright, heinous yellow underglow on his face.
But at least it matches the wizard. Like the wizard has that so it kind of works.
I had one of my friends was talking about online. It's like, man, I'm not happy about Zachary Levi. He's going to look ridiculous standing across the field from The Rock as Black Adam.
But you know what? The Rock isn't in any of the cast listings. I looked it up on IMDb.
Really?
He's been kind of removed. So, the villain in this is Dr. Savannah, who's being played by Mark Strong.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah, that's who that was, which is interesting.
Hmm.
It's an interesting choice because Dr. Savannah's like Lex Luthor, but like he's just Lex Luthor, basically, but serious kind of.
It looks like they're taking it as seriously as you should take a comic book about a boy who gets his superpowers from a wizard.
A wizard in a train station.
Yeah, and turns into a grown man when he says a magic word.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It looks great. I'm in.
I'm stoked for this one.
I will say this. The colors are brighter. They're more vivid.
Mm-hmm.
There definitely seems to be a lot more levity to it.
It seems legitimately funny and not like forced.
Well, here's the thing. These are the first... this one and Aquaman are the first two movies that were made post-Justice League and all the backlash from how dark and grim and awful that movie was. So these are like... of reactions to it, and you could definitely tell that they're trying to take a page out of
the
Marvel's
book.
Aquaman looks like underwater Black Panther.
Oh yeah, 100%. Wet Panther.
The Wet Panther. that's definitely what it is. And Shazam has some elements of, it's more comedy based. I would almost say Ant-Man in the comedy section, not so much in tone, but not in theme, I guess. It's definitely lighter, maybe
more like the first Thor.
Yeah,
I guess.
I could see that.
Yeah, a little bit.
But they also feel different enough that they don't feel exactly like Marvel knockoffs, I think.
Yes, and I think and I'm just glad that they're making kind of a tonal shift, and I think a lot of that comes to Zack Snyder no longer being attached. I mean, it's a kind of a shame
he became unattached,
not attached to it, but.
And Joss Whedon's not.
Joss Whedon's.
Well, we will see. I am more interested to see Shazam than I am Aquaman.
Yeah.
Sure.
But also Aquaman was probably some of my favorite parts in Justice League.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because he knew that he was in a bad movie.
Oh, yeah.
So he was just...
He was just riding it out. I dig it.
So, they didn't have anything for Wonder Woman, but it is officially called Wonder Woman 1984 now, right?
Yep, it is. Yeah. And there's only been a couple of on-set shot, like stills, And I'm really interested in seeing where how Kristen Wiig does as the cheetah.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really interesting casting. Like, I would not have initially thought to cast Kristen Wiig in a, you know, more
action-y
super kind of more serious kind of action-y role.
But I 100% believe that she could do it.
Absolutely. So let's switch gears, do some more DC stuff, but this is angry, sad things that I don't like. So there's a trailer for...
Wait a minute. That was the most positive we have been about the DC Cinematic Universe in the entire run of this podcast.
I know. So
history has been made.
I don't know how to feel
about
that.
Well, I don't know, man. We got pretty gushy on Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, we did. Never mind.
That's
true. I forget that that's a DC movie.
Right, because it's so good, right? Yeah. There's a trailer for the Titans live action TV series based
on
off
the
of
DC
the,
Universe app or whatever.
Yeah,
calling it
was supposed to be on TBS and they dropped it, so now it's just on the app.
And, I wonder why.
Oh boy, this looks like a mess.
One, folks, this was a quote unquote rated R TV show trailer.
Oh, it's because they drop. Language.
Exactly.
Yeah, cover your ears, kids, because Robin's got a dirty mouth.
He's got a big old pouty mouth. Has some real choice words to say about Batman.
So, you know, those
Don't talk about your dad that way.
You know those Teen Titans characters that your kids like that they watch on the Cartoon Network all the time? It's those guys, but now they're saying F words.
Yeah.
And just killing people.
Yeah.
It looks real bad. It looks so bad. Although, I saw online this comparison, and I agree with it. It's almost Riverdale, but superheroes. So there might
Which
be
I
a point.
I can almost get behind.
Yeah, I can almost get behind that. I can almost see myself watching the first couple episodes just because I got to know. I got to know. Like, how bad?
I mean, I'm 2.5 seasons into Riverdale for some reason.
That gets bonkers.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's dumb, it's crazy, stupid, and terrible, but I also like it.
Yeah, just trash garbage television.
Yeah.
Just eat it up.
garbage.
Anyway, Titans.
Yeah, Titans.
Go.
Yep.
Teen Titans, go away.
Yeah.
Hey, the new movie came out this weekend. I kind of want to go watch it.
I kind of want to say that, too.
Like, for a while, it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
See, that's wild to me.
So it must be pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, it has a Lauren Faust directed DC Superhero Girls short in front of it.
Oh, that's cool.
I saw that in the new trailer.
And I want to see that.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Yeah, I definitely want to check that out.
But to be fair, Titans Go was the battle cry before that show. So you can get off my bread buns there, Cody.
All right, so let's see. We have one or two more DC things, then we can move on to some general other stuff. So there's something about the Batwoman show on CW?
There's going to be a Batwoman show on CW. First, she's going to show up on, I think it was Arrow.
Which makes that sense. She's more serious of a character.
I'm sure it was Arrow.
Yeah. I mean, that is the more Batman-like series.
It is Batman.
It's Batman with arrows.
Yeah. It's green Batman. But she's going to show up on Arrow for 4 or 5 episodes or whatever, and then she's going to get her own spinoff, which is
so
very cool.
So kind of like what Flash did.
Right. Yeah. And we should probably clarify that when we're saying Batwoman and not Batgirl, they're completely different characters.
Batwoman is Kate Kane.
Kate Kane. She is one of DC's more prominent LGBT superheroes, which is pretty cool. Her backstory, she was a Golden Age character initially that had ties that were very, very close to Batman, but this new incarnation is almost none.
They originally created her to try and make
Batman
not
gay.
Look gay.
Yeah, but nowadays when she was reintroduced,
she is gay.
And
was a vampire at one point.
She was a vampire at one point. That's very true.
She has a cool costume.
Yes,
it's really rad.
Mm-hmm. Black and red.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very, very cool. She has very few ties to Batman other than
the name.
She's also rich and also fights crime, uses bats
and has a bat moniker.
Yeah,
I'm
but
down
that's really
for this.
It.
I don't watch the other CW shows, but I'll check this out.
I'll give it a shot.
Wasn't she part
sure.
of Batman Inc. at one point?
Yes. Yes, she was.
Yeah, because I thought they had all the Bat people under one roof.
That was like
there.
The closest family. She got to like the Bat family kind of lineup sort of thing.
She was in that Bat family animated movie. I forget what it was called.
Oh, Bad Blood.
It was pretty good.
Yeah,
it's a good movie. I own it.
All right, so let's move on to some other stuff. Cody, what can you tell me about Disenchantment?
It is the new animated series by Simpsons creator Matt Groening. It very much looks like fantasy Futurama.
It does. A lot.
On Netflix.
Yeah, it's a Netflix original. It looks so good.
August 17th.
And when has Matt Groening ever done you wrong?
Yeah, it looks great. It looks like it's going to have a little bit more of a kind of a moral kind of...
It actually has a story.
To it, like an overarching story arc rather than just standalone episodes.
Maybe a little BoJack-y.
Yeah, maybe.
BoJack Horseman-y.
Yep. And actually, probably how Futurama, the end of Futurama kind of got, because by the end, they were kind of doing kind of an overarching kind of, you know, Fry was kind of trying to become a better person a little bit.
Yeah, I mean...
I would say from the hollow flute or the holophone...
Holophoner.
Yeah, episode kind of on... You kind of see him trying to slowly become more of a
better person.
A better person. Yeah. And I think this show is going to have a little more of that, which is cool.
The worms.
Yeah.
I like that her name is Princess Bean. I think that's cute.
Yeah.
I like that Bart Simpson elf.
Yeah.
He looks all like Bart. He looks like the... he looks
just like
Bart. He looks like the... That's Bart. He looks like the Bart Simpson monsters from the Treehouse of Horror episodes.
He looks like one of the happy little elves.
Yes, he does. Oh
my God. Which is like a first season Simpsons callback. Oh, yeah, that is. Callback.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right.
And the little demon guy looks totally like old school Life in Hell Matt Groening.
Oh, yeah.
Drawing.
It looks like really flat. Like, oh, yeah. It's great.
Very cool. I'm very excited.
He's super flat, like shadow-like character.
Comes out August 17th, and I'm very excited.
Yep.
Also, the fact, you know, I love the fact that Princess Bean has like a buck tooth.
Oh yeah, she has buck teeth. That's really cool.
Like she's not like just some pretty girl. She's like looks like a person.
Yeah. Well, as close to a person as you a can in Matt Groening art style.
But hey, they're not yellow people.
Yeah.
No. They only the Simpsons.
It's not a world of jaundice.
Yeah. Only the Simpsons are yellow.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a trailer for the next season of Doctor Who.
Looks good. It looks like the new doctor is kind of a lighter, Matt Smithier doctor.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that works.
At least now.
Yeah.
Even Matt Smith got kind of dark-ish toward the middle to the end of the series.
He had his times.
Yeah.
I will say this about Matt Smith. He was one egotistical doctor. He had his moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing you don't put in a trap, and that's me. Ugh, hated it.
I just feel so bad for Capaldi because I love him so much and I thought he was such a good doctor, but they didn't give him good material.
Yeah, they did not write him from what I understand.
It got better toward the end, but it did have a really weak showing there at the beginning, like super weak.
Oh, there was just some episodes that were just so bad.
Yeah, like, they were almost unwatchable.
Monsters.
Yeah, we looked at each other after that and we're like, what did we just watch?
Thank God that they're doing a new showrunner because
he was done.
I forget his name, but he definitely
ran Moffat.
Yeah, Moffat definitely ran his course.
Moffat was a good writer. I don't think he was that great of a showrunner. He was definitely no Russell T. Davies.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
But anyway, they didn't really show anything in the trailer other than flashes of some of the new characters.
A lot of companions this time. I think three.
I
think so.
But the thing is, are they going to be all at once?
That's a good point that I didn't think of. Maybe they're not all at the same time.
Yeah, who knows? I don't have much of a dog in this fight because I don't watch a whole lot of Doctor Who, but that trailer looked really good.
You're going to check it out.
Oh, I got to watch the first episode.
The new lady doctor.
Oh, yeah, I got to, for sure. Let's see. Captain Pike's going to be in Star Trek Discovery.
That's cool.
They were hinting at there was going to be an original series character that was going to pop up in Discovery for the second season.
And if you're
everyone thought
it
was going to be young Kirk. Turns out it's Captain Pike, and that's really great.
And technically Spock.
Yeah, Spock's gonna
kind of Spock.
Yeah,
kind of. They're looking for Spock.
So the
Would
ship
you say that, they're ha- they're doing a search,
search for Spock.
For Spock.
Yeah, and then they make a voyage home.
God.
To undiscovered country.
I'm leaving.
My thing is the ship that Pike shows up on. I didn't really get a good look at the...
It's the Enterprise.
Is it the Enterprise?
Oh, yeah.
Did it say Enterprise?
Yes.
It? Okay.
Cool. So the Enterprise is showing up.
Yeah.
I mean, you went about the most original of series cast characters.
Mm-hmm. But I think if you're going to pull somebody from the original series, Pike is the one that's going to be the... Makes
well,
the most
yeah, because he was the one that was... Like, he's always been there in the canon, but it's...
But there's not... Oh, yeah, there's plenty they can flesh out without butting heads against established canon.
Like, he's in the pilot, and then you have the episode later where he's in the sweat box with the lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really like the updated design.
The yellow tunic?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. At first, I wasn't sure how I was feeling about it because I'm looking at it and it's got that weird sharp overcollar on it.
I don't know. I need to go back and watch Discovery now because I watched the first two episodes, really liked them, and then just didn't keep going.
From what I understand, it got really kind of weak near the middle, but by the end, the second half of the series started introducing a mirror universe.
Nice.
Like one of the characters was like permanently stuck, like swapped or something like that.
With the goatee?
Basically, yeah. But no, I guess the second half of that first season, it got really good.
I love the Mirrorverse. That's like some of my favorite Star
Trek
stuff.
Some of the best stuff.
That's a good episode.
The comic, Shattered Mirror, was the next is a next-gen story with the Mirrorverse, and it was so good.
Does Mir Picard have hair?
No.
Oh, man. But he
has
so good.
But he has a sleeveless tunic, and he's super buff.
He should have a John Waters mustache.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, no. Data's like half Borg.
Okay, sure. I can see that.
It's really good. It's like the whole, every panel is painted.
Oh, man.
Ah,
that
cool.
Sounds good.
It's really, really good.
Let's not get stuck on this tangent. That's
anyway,
fine.
But yes. Anyway. I love Star Trek. I feel bad. I feel like a bad Star Trek fan because I have not seen any of Discovery.
You should get on that. It's good from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Granted, I didn't watch Orville past the first episode. So
we watched almost all of Orville. It's really good.
The last thing we have is a reboot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
It's been a long time. Why not?
Yeah, everything's coming back, so why not?
Sure. I'd be in.
And apparently Buffy is black now, which I'm sure ruffles the feathers of
a lot of
jerks.
Oh, it's
going to
ruffle a lot of rough feathers, but
here's the
you
thing.
Know what?
Even canonically in the universe, it's not the first time we've had a black slayer. There was one alongside Buffy in the series.
This is exactly the same argument people do about Doctor Who. Being a woman, it's canonically already been proven that it could happen. That doesn't change people's minds, unfortunately.
I know. It doesn't. I know.
It doesn't.
I know.
It's frustrating.
If only it were that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People but, don't like change, but whatever.
Go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Hey, do you do social media? You probably do.
Of course you do.
Most people do. You can find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Do it.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV. Send us an email, review our show on iTunes, tell your friends.
Yep, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, just about anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find our show. And I think that's pretty much it. So again, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out.